A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men News. It is Wednesday, apparently. Every time. I am Paul Machen. I am joined by Ross Chanley. And look, I'm going to say this right now. I've realised I've been caught out once again. I haven't done this in a while. Yes, I am wearing a Bayern Munich tracksuit top. It's going to draw comments. It always draws comments. It's just a nice tracky top. And it was cheaper because they go out of season, so it's easier to pick things up. It's fine. I'm going to talk to Ross about the news in a moment, including that their Ligue 1 is not going to return this season, and some other bits and pieces around a meeting on Friday, which might well decide the future of Liverpool's season. But this show is brought to you in association with Beer 52. We've had these guys as partners for a while now. Absolutely sensational company to work with. And they've got a deal right now where for £5.95, you can get 8 beers. Effectively, the beers are free. You're just paying for the postage. Beer 52, the world's most popular craft beer discovery club. And what you'll get through your door is a box that looks just like this. Just like this. And it's filled with beer. This isn't anymore because the beers are really nice and I'm slowly whittling my way through them. But examples of beers that you might get is this by Tiny Rebel. It's the Stay Puft Coconut Cream Marshmallow Porter, which is great. I've actually, just off the back of this, I've actually picked up some Tiny Rebel stuff myself, which is great. There's another stout, but you'll notice, actually, I actually don't mind stout, but it isn't all stout that comes in. It's just that I've been banging to the IPAs lately, and all the amazing IPAs that normally come in those boxes have, let's just say, made their way to a better place. So yeah, you can get on there. Go to beer52.com/redmen to get your 8 free beers. You also get a snack and a magazine as well to go along with it. Given the current climate, it is the absolute perfect thing. As I discovered today, there is nothing better than just having someone turn up on your doorstep, step back, leave the package on the floor. And what is the package? The package is beer. Go to beer52.com/redmen. Highly, highly recommended. Get yourself through the day. Have a great time. And of course, drink responsibly. Right. Okay. Ross, hi.
Hi. How are we?
Good, very good indeed. You're looking very healthy, mate.
Thanks. I've been working from home in the sunshine last week.
Conversation from your personal Skypes.
Yeah.
Not when you're talking to the boss, mate. That's fine.
Redmen Socials has done very well the past couple of weeks, Paul. Thank you very much. But just on the jacket, I'm going to compliment you on the jacket, because last week I made a joke about people over 25 shouldn't wear football tops, and I got quite a bit of stick for it.
Anyway, mate, you're looking great today, which is good to see.
Thanks, Paul.
Adapting to the lockdown splendidly with you. Presumably all over body tan because you live alone and you can just, you know, you're probably working in the garden, just soaking up the rays.
It's raining sideways now, so it's not very appropriate.
And I'm digging the lockdown hairstyle as well.
This is the first time I've made an attempt to do anything with my hair for about 3 weeks.
Amazing.
I'm torn. Like, I've got clippers. At what stage do you go, fuck it, or do you hold out?
I've decided that what's going to end up happening with me is I'm going to hold out, and then I will be so annoyed by the time that lockdown ends and barbers open that I will go in the barbers and have them shave it off for me, and then it will have been a complete waste of time. I might as well have just done it when it was an acceptable thing, instead of looking like just a, you know, bad weirdo. Anyway, football news. Ligue 1 will not return this season, which is bad, particularly for fans of Ligue 1. Ligue 1 and Ligue 2, France's two top divisions, will not resume this season. the French have banned all sporting events, including behind closed doors, until September. The Prime Minister, Edouard Philippe, said the 1920 sporting season was over as he announced plans to ease France's coronavirus lockdown on the 11th of May, report the BBC. Football was suspended indefinitely in France on the 13th of March. It's not yet known whether Ligue de Football Professionnel will choose to abandon this season with no promotion or relegation and no champions, or base the outcome on the campaign on current standings. Defending champions Paris Saint-Germain are 12 points clear of Marseille. I'm just digging into this at the moment. Of Ligue 1 with 10 rounds du match and one outstanding fixture left to play. To lose the bottom of the table, whatever. No one really cares about that.
They've got nothing to lose.
Yeah. They've got everything to lose. Ross, you found this as well in the follow-up from it, of like, they're saying there's three options that they're looking into, because the league, they haven't, a lot of people are saying the league's been voided. It hasn't been voided yet.
Yeah, there's a problem with the terminology. I think when people said cancelled, I think it was our worst fears, didn't they? And that kind of goes, well, that automatically means it's null and void. So they're looking at three different options. I'm not sure if this plays into UEFA's rules about people getting into the Champions League and Europa League on merit is why they've done this. But I translated it before, if the website works. So it's either points per game ratio, resulted stopped on the last full match day, or end results in mid-season. So if you take those into account for Liverpool, like, I mean, that's pretty good because we just win them all, particularly if it's mid-season, because then we'd be undefeated as well.
Premier League trophy, baby!
Which is fine. I'm torn as to what's going on at the moment, because, like, I think when it was the project revamp or whatever they called it, I was up for it. And when you see things like this, and I'm not sure, like this morning, I thought it's more and more likely that maybe the Premier League won't happen. And there's some other news we'll go into later on, but you know, but it's also confusing, Paul, because the Champions League stuff, like PSG is still in the quarterfinals of the Champions League, yeah. So they can't play their games in France. You know, I think the rumours were they're going to play in Qatar, which isn't in Europe. So, like, how can you do that? And, you know, and where do you go from there? So, you know, there's different examples. Everdeezy, they cancelled their season as well. They null and voided it. Is it just...
They sort of did, though, didn't they? I need to look into this, actually, but it wasn't quite a null and void, the Eredivisie season, I don't think. We're seeing this thing. You're seeing Bundesliga is on course to come back. And I think from my own, you know, until we see exactly what the Premier League's doing, it feels like you could do with another major league going, we're definitely coming back, yeah, to make the Premier League thing. Because if we move on, there's an article in the Mirror. Actually, I was just skipping ahead. Well, the FIFA Medical Committee, the chairman of the FIFA Medical Committee, Mr. Doog, reckons the world's not ready for competitive football, and he thinks it shouldn't come back in any way, shape, or form until September, which is not what any Liverpool fan wants to read. But then The Guardian, obviously, adding to this, are also saying that the Premier League are scared that they'll become a scapegoat if the footy comes back too soon, and then there's another problem. There's another, like, rise or outbreak or issues that arise, it could damage their brand. And that's why I wonder whether, you know, the Premier League could really just do with a little bit of not being the forefront of all of this, really.
Yeah, I think it's also dependent on which country and what the government guidelines are. So it's obviously the president of or the prime minister of France, sorry, has come out and said, he came out yesterday and said, like, there's going to be no sport full stop for, you know, the foreseeable future. Whereas, you know, our government are, you know, love them or hate them. Make them, you know, they're quite keen on getting football back, but it's such a hard balance on what the numbers are. But it's also people's mental health on top of that, and it's not just football. This goes for all sports. You know, people going out on seeking some sense of normality, but it's not worth doing it at the cost of people's lives. So, you know, it depends. You know, there's a meeting on Friday, I think, with the Premier League.
Yeah.
About what they're going to do. So, and it's also the impatience, because this is not what it's not helping, because you've seen different reports, like you just said, of, you know, someone says this, someone says that, this league's doing that, this league's doing that, whereas our league hasn't been decided yet. I think because we're all clamouring for an answer, but people don't know the answer to the questions right now, so it's difficult to judge, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Obviously, we know Bundesliga is preparing to resume on the 9th of May. There's talk of it being, is it the 13th of June?
Yeah, I think they pushed it back a week, it was reports this morning.
Yeah, so I mean, we wait with bated breath on this, really. I think, look, we can't, and everyone, the vast majority of people watching at home will probably share this thought, is that we're just, there's a sliding scale of good as far as from our perspective goes, and the only the null and void option is the what is the, you know, is the option that means Liverpool won't be champions. And
Errol made a great point on that. If you null and void, there's only Liverpool that have qualified for Europe, so all these fans that want null and void, you know. Well,
that's the thing, isn't it? Because that's what goes back to that UEFA statement last week, is that they need it to be decided on sporting merit. And actually, I don't think we've even had confirmation from UEFA that they've accepted the Eredivisie's approach, if I'm right in saying on that. I might be wrong. Please feel free to correct me in the comments if that is the case. But, because obviously they've decided there's no champion, but they've decided that Ajax and Feyenoord, is it? I can't remember. Anyway, the second place team, they're going to be in the Champions League qualifying rounds from next season. They've decided on no relegation, but it's up to then UEFA to decide. Was there enough merit? Was there sporting merit behind their decision to do things? But it's going to be interesting to see. I keep saying that. We're in absolute limbo here, really, aren't we? And every day, we're just on this constant cycle of every day you get a little something that makes you think that it's all going to be good, and then it's counterbalanced almost immediately with, no, here's a reason why it's definitely not going to be the case. It's intolerable at this point.
Patience is the key for that one, but it's also difficult when, like, you know, you've got that, but you go on Twitter, and we said this for weeks now, everyone's got an angle, has got an agenda behind it as well. So, you know, Karen Brady, which feels like months ago, wasn't that long ago. And other clubs like that who wanted null and void, and fine, I can accept that, you know. And there's people out there who've been quite well voiced saying they want null and void just so Liverpool don't win the league.
Yeah, I've got more respect for that, if I'm being perfectly honest. I don't like it. It's not an opinion I like to hear or say, but I saw this on a video the other day, and it was Expressions just saying, I want it null and void because we're crap. You know what I mean? Basically, we've been rubbish. And if it gets null and voided, then it means that effectively Spurs go back in the Champions League. They get a bit of a mulligan on it. And I don't like that. And I hate, the selfish approach to it. But then, you know, all football fans are selfish because they want to put their own football club and their own means first. And that's what I mean, is that Liverpool just being confirmed as champions, because it's too important. And I know there'll be a shine taken off it because we didn't get to do it. If we don't get to do it properly, don't get to play all the games out and whatever, and there might, you know, some people might be desperate to put an asterisk around it. I genuinely won't care. Like, I won't be able to celebrate it in the same way. And literally, you know, obviously, literally and figuratively. But it's too important for Liverpool moving forward for them to get that box ticked. So that's why I'm not impartial on this in any way, shape, or form. I wouldn't claim to be. But yeah, I want football back from an entertainment perspective more than anything, because I'm just bored. It'd be nice to have something live and entertaining. And that's the one thing, Ross, that us having a terrible, terrible Tory government, is that they will do everything in their power to try and distract the public from how terribly they're handling this whole thing. So it actually wouldn't shock me if they put, you know, and bear in mind, they've already thrown Premier League footballers under the bus already. It wouldn't shock me if they were looking to bring sports back just as some sort of, you know, anesthetic to the criticism that they're receiving.
Yeah, and again, at what cost? You know, so I read something else interesting this morning. Kevin says, you know, no one's asked the players about this. You know, maybe the players are fearing for their own lives or the family's lives have been say, well, if the pressure's on you to go and perform and go and do this to entertain a nation. Like, I agree with what you say, but, you know, there's also their perspective as well. But if the government are putting pressure on them to go and do it, then maybe they don't have a choice in it because it's the job.
Maybe they should just have like put some of the royal family up in the royal box there, and then let's go full Roman Empire and have them just decide the winners by sticking the old thumb out and giving it the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Just so that all the gammons and all that kind of stuff would be mad for that. We get some use out of the royal family for once, all that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Let's move on. And also there's a chance that they all, no, I'm not going to go that far. I'm just saying, end the monarchy. Right, Liverpool told that they have the best teenager in world football in their academy, according to the Mirror, and according to former goalkeeper Paul Robinson. This is by Jake Polden in the Mirror. It's got a picture of Elton John in the article, which is great to see on a Wednesday afternoon. Liverpool are the best teenager in the world in Harvey Elliott. That's the opinion of former England goalkeeper Paul Robinson.
Small details are big surfaces. tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It takes a shine off that story, doesn't it, when you read the first headline? Liverpool have a teenage starlet, Paul Robinson. Oh, okay, Sam. I suppose it's nice for him to kind of get that support, though, isn't it? And, you know, kind of recognition from someone like Paul Robinson. Okay, we don't adore him or, you know, hold him up as the best goalkeeper in the world, but for someone who's had experience in Premier League and for England as well, to say actually that kid's decent. It's good for Harvey Elliott. I also like Harvey Elliott, in the sense, I think he did his first interview last week or the week before as well, which, you know,
they were Pep Linders, didn't he?
Yeah, it was for the pressure that he's under. I think it shows maturity considering the stuff that he's done.
Yeah, it's I mean, Paul Robinson, I love this. This is where we're at right now. It's like, has anyone spoken to a professional footballer? Has anyone got a quote from a professional footballer we can use to put into an article? Take get me a professional footballer on the phone. Yeah, fine. I don't disagree. I think he's tremendous. But I really like Paul Robinson. He ended up falling foul. He fell into the Joe Hart trap. Never become England goalkeeper. We're seeing little arms fall into that as well, aren't we, at the moment? Yeah, a really, really good goalkeeper coming through the ranks and then ended up as England goalkeeper and then ended up being ruined. But yeah, good of him to say nice things about a Liverpool player. Thanks very much, Paul Robinson. We talked about this on the podcast last night over on the main channel, which I highly recommend getting onto if you need a little bit of company and entertainment in these times. We talk about the Liverpool stuff, we talk about world football stuff, and we have a bit of a laugh and some general questions from you guys as well. But Liverpool have updated the supporters on the future of the proposed expansion of the Anfield Road stand. It's been paused for at least 12 months because of obviously the pandemic. The earliest target for project completion is now summer 2023. The original target was summer 2022. It's a disappointment, isn't it, Ross, ultimately?
Yeah, slightly. But I think it just makes sense in terms of what they did with the main stand. They want to start building from the back and over. It made sense to do that when there's a 2-3 month gap, or what would have been that gap in the summer between seasons. They don't have that anymore. We don't know what's going to happen with the season and when next season will start. So it makes sense just to kind of push it back. But you're right, it's a disappointment in the sense of, I think you made the point yesterday of the riding the wave of kind of building on stuff, building on Kirby, doing this, building a team, or winning things. It kind of just kind of halts that back a bit. But if that's the biggest problem you've got in your football club, then, you know, in the scheme of things, it's not that bad, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, more info on that when we get it. And yeah, if you want a bit more of a in-depth discussion on that, go and check out the Redmen podcast, available on podcasting apps and on the main Redmen TV YouTube channel as well. Right, one last thing before we get into your comments. Felipe Coutinho is basically reporting that it is unsellable. So there's a chance he might actually end up having a career at Barcelona. One man who might benefit from the pandemic is the fact that Barcelona might not be able to buy anyone. No one will be able to afford to buy Coutinho, so Coutinho might end up stuck at Barcelona by default. Which, when you look at it from that perspective, I mean, I'm sure Coutinho wanted his dream move, Ross. It didn't work out for him. But, you know, I think there was no doubt in everyone's minds. You know, look at he's been shopped around for the year and a half now, that he would probably, well, he would almost certainly have been moved on this summer. It might end up being one of those mad moments that plays to Coutinho's hands and gives him a second chance.
Yeah, no, it might do him a massive favour. I also read something this morning. He's been a scapegoat for Barcelona, being poor for the past two seasons by their own standards. Mm-hmm. Who'd you blame? Well, the guy that you just spent £120 million on, so go and do that for him. I think it'd be good if he does, but you know, he's a reason unsellable because no one can afford him. Like, we don't know what's going on with the transfer market at the minute. The one club I did think of, and I think he's been linked with it yesterday and today, is Newcastle. Man. But also, if he's going to cost £80 million or whatever Barcelona want for him, like, that's a significant chunk of Newcastle's, not the money, but the FFP. You know, if that's still in place, they need to rebuild a whole squad. Don't go and spunk £90 million on one person.
But it's interesting because I was talking to Raphael Honigstein, and that video will be out on the Red Men TV YouTube channel on Saturday about the Coutinho stuff, because obviously he's a German man and German football expert, and talking about why it's not worked out at Bayern and what potential future could be, you know, it lined up for Coutinho. Chelsea were touted in like an Athletic article, but Chelsea just don't need him. Arsenal maybe, but can they afford him? And then all of a sudden, I couldn't figure out who might fit after that, because City are not going to want him. Liverpool don't want him. You know, Chelsea don't want him. And someone mentioned like Leicester. Leicester have not been linked, but Leicester maybe, because you've got the Rodgers connection. But like a newly minted Newcastle United sounds like the perfect Phil Coutinho. You know, but we don't know what Newcastle are going to be. Are they just going to be rebirthed 90s Newcastle, where they did spend big money on lads who maybe weren't quite what they needed? Maybe, you know, we've seen that happen time and time again, when they've wasted dough on this kind of thing. But he would be, the Geordies would love Phil Coutinho, particularly right now, because they've been crap for a few years. I think that'd be really, really exciting.
Yeah, the other issue is his wages. They're astronomical too. Who can afford them? It'll be Newcastle. But I'm speaking to Newcastle Fans TV this afternoon for the news roundup, and that's on one of my many questions I've got for them, so we'll find out later. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's got the hallmarks of... Do you remember when Man City first got the money? They got the Thaksin Shinawatra money before the current ownership took over, and they went out and they bought Rubinho, and they went out and they bought Alano, and they bought a few other like quite expensive lads, but not necessarily the top tier of players, because you can't get the top tier of players anymore. You know, look at Everton are in that situation as well. Richarlison's a really good player, but he's not top bracket. You know, he's not the best Brazilian in the world.
It also depends on the manager as well, because they've been linked with Jorge Jesus, the guy from Flamengo this morning, Pochettino, Rafa coming back. You know, is Phil Coutinho or Rafa signing?
Interesting. Could be very interesting indeed. Right, we're going to get to some of your comments on everything we've discussed. I'm going to start with Josh Clark. I can feel myself slowly giving in to the season being void that I really don't want it to be. Yeah, look, I've had some bits and pieces with this. Some people, I understand that people are having emotional turmoil on it. And I am. And look, trust me, there's a, you know, someone whose entire livelihood and everything I've built for the last decade is entirely hinged around the football. Nobody needs football. You know, well, plenty of people need it, but like, you know what I mean? I need football to come back, but also, I don't know. There's no sense in worrying too much about it right now. For a start, it's out of our hands. And while it exists in possibility, I think I've heard plenty of mutterings and rumours that the Premier League will come back. I think they'll try everything in their power to restart it for a number of reasons. I think the government will probably, maybe even unsafely, allow them to do it. But also there's so much money in it, and there's so much in and around it. I think there's so much greed in the Premier League and the FA that I think they will do it because they like money so much, which is not necessarily a good thing if it puts people's health at risk. But it wouldn't shock me to see them make that decision. Morbid Angel is better than death. Says a void is wiping out all records. Cancel means, well, to cancel it. That's not really totally cleared it up. But yeah, it's just, yeah. We'll know more what we're Ross. When they make the decision on what's happening with Ligue 1, people will be able to understand a little bit more of that decision, really.
Yeah, but it might even be taking a lead, or maybe the Premier League is sitting back to see what all the other leagues are doing and you know, how it works out for them. The Ligue 1 might be a really good thing for us as Liverpool fans. Okay, it's not null and void, but cancelling, like you said before, you can start the league, it's still done. And then, you know, your mind's clear, then, right, we'll concentrate on next season when it's safe to do so. you can move on. And like, it's been a cycle of having these conversations for 3 or 4 weeks now. Just like, yeah, like you said, it's just what we can't do anything about it.
Absolutely true. Morbid continues. Eredivisie are considering reversing their decision, apparently, as well. That'd be another interesting one to keep an eye on. Athul JK, an early EPL winner, chance to maybe be the first team to win EPL in 2 years. It's never normal when we talk about LFC. Yeah, it's an interesting situation, that, isn't it? It's mad, isn't it? That's what I just want it done, is because... it's mainly just the banter I can't live with. I can live with the banter of, well, you didn't play it out, you know, you didn't win it properly. Well, whatever, it's still going on the champions wall. I'm still going to get the model one that we had ordered for the Champ Manager series. I'm still going to parade that round. It's still going on the main Redmen set as soon as that happens and all that stuff. But I can't live with the banter of Liverpool being the best, statistically the best team that's ever played in the Premier League, and then having that... and then having it be robbed without it being our own fault is just too heartbreaking for me to even comprehend.
I'm all right with that. It's the banter. If you're saying that people say, no, you haven't won it or you haven't won it properly, well, it's not through any fault of our own. You know, people fucking dying, mate. You know what I mean?
Bollocks to that, mate. I just tweet back gifs of the Premier League trophy, you know what I mean, and all that kind of stuff. Just tweet #19 and all that kind of stuff. There's response to that. There's no response to having your best ever season voided on you. Jordan Henderson is the best player in the world. Great name for a person, and also truth.
I'm sorry. What was the statement?
Bundesliga is back in a couple of weeks. Who are you supporting? Dortmund, for me. Don't take the fact that I'm wearing a Bayern Munich tracksuit as anything to have any great affinity for Bayern in any way, shape, or form. Although, that being said, I've had some boss times at the Allianz. Me and Tom had a great laugh there in pre-season a couple of years ago. We had a great laugh there in the Champions League when we smacked them everywhere. And it's one of the best away fan experience I've ever had at a football ground. None of those things are going to be considered factors in this in any way, shape or form. So I honestly don't know. I'm going to support. I'm going to watch as much Bundesliga as I can, and I'm going to adopt an approach that we used to do in uni, and I'm just going to support whoever's losing in that game until they take the lead, and then I'll support the other team. It's more exciting that way.
So you're a glory hunter then?
Oh, 100%, mate. Why not? I've got my team. I don't support any other teams. I don't even like other sports.
I'm going to support football, Paul. That's what
that's what I'm supporting, Ross. That's what supporting is. You don't really... A mate of mine did that. He had no... He supported Kingstonian, so he had no team to support. So he started off supporting every team that Man United played against. And then he had a rolling team. So he started off 0-0 in a game on telly on like a Sunday afternoon. And then he would support whoever took, and then he would support like who won that game. And then he would continue to support them until he saw them lose. And then he would support whoever beat them, and so on and so forth. Yeah. Mad. Maybe I'll do that.
May as well support Everton. He's going to support losers.
No. Yeah, true enough. Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe that'll be. Maybe I'll end up as a weird pseudo Everton fan. Like, I think it'd be good fun. I'll be able to talk to the Toffee TV lads. I'll be able to go on the channel and everything. Keep them entertained. Anyway, Johnny Walker continues wasted 2+ years failing at 2 top clubs. He's 28 now, going 29 as well, I think. Not good for old Phil. Anyway, who cares? He's not going back to Liverpool anytime soon. Thanks very much to everyone for watching, for liking, for subscribing to the Redmen News channel on YouTube as well. All of that stuff really helps. If you want more from us, go to theredmentv.com. We've got some excellent stuff lined up for you. We've got the return of the Football Manager series. Me and Chris started up on Monday. We're back live at 4 p.m. on Thursday on the main channel. So do go over and see how we're handling taking over from Jurgen Klopp as the Liverpool manager on Football Manager. It's going to be interesting. Anyway, do go to beer52.com as well, /RedmenTV /Redmen to get your first case free and get your 8 free beers. Other than that, we'll be back with more Redmen news on Friday. Ta-da.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.